Live, and we're launching into the second hour of the program. You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free at 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian.
And Luther.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com and enjoy all the features there. You'll find them free. So head over and get yourself on board. You don't have to sign up for an account, but if you do, then you can do neat stuff like submit show prep to our website and vote on other people's show prep, that kind of thing. Head on over to freetalklive.com, the most voted up of the suggestions. We'll make it to the front page and the top of our website, meaning we're more likely to talk about it on the air tonight. Coming up, get a chance. We'll tell you about something that is from the front page of our website, courtesy of lourockwell.com. About a 10-year-old boy and a police captain. We'll tell you what happened between them. But first, Luther is here to explain to us something about the roads. I mean, this is one of the issues that people really bring up when it comes to objections to liberty, objections to ending the coercive, violent monopoly known as the state, is, well, what about the roads? And Luther, what about the roads?
Well, kind of the point they're getting at this is, you know, everybody always asks, well, what are you going to do if the government's not around to make the roads? And so it's titled...
And where is it from, by the way?
Oh, it's from the Center for a Stateless Society. This is by Darian Warden.
You know, and this isn't the argument that's just used if you talk about no government at all. They use this no matter what.
Really?
Right.
Say, small government?
Absolutely. When you say that, we need to downsize the government, the first thing that somebody comes out of their mouth is, what about the roads? Because they, if the idea that you should have the government out of some area or the other area, essentially, their excuse that the government does things well and the government needs to do things, whatever those things might be, whether it's health care or missiles on poor people in foreign countries or whatever it is that needs to be done. Well, if the government didn't take care of the roads, I mean, the roads is always the place that they run back to when you talk about paring down the size of government.
Okay. Right. And this article is titled, Who Would Maintain the Roads Worse Than the State? The question of transportation infrastructure is often posed to those who reveal themselves to be anarchists. Without government, who would build the roads? One can give plenty of reasons and examples concerning why coercion is not needed to construct something in such a high demand. And let's start with, without government, how would roads be worse? Roads are currently built according to political demand in an economy dominated by the state, which exists to secure power and ultimately answer to the powerful. The U.S. Interstate and Trans-Canada Highway System, which owe their existence to government intervention, appear to be comparatively efficient and a safe way to travel.
But, right. I've traveled on the United States Interstate System.
Oh, yeah. I've driven all across this country. I mean,
and I've thought to myself, man, these are some fine highways. Because I think that the interstate system is, you know, it's the pinnacle of roads on this planet.
Well, I don't know. I guess
the Autobahn's pretty nice.
I haven't been there.
The perspective, and that's, I think, where this is coming from, the point that people believe that these interstates and roads are safe ways to travel, I think that that's because they don't know anything better, right? I mean, the road industry, for lack of a better term, has never had to innovate particularly well. There's not really competition for roads out there, and so
can't miss a place you've never been.
Well, exactly. So from it's like the middle schoolers at the local middle school, when we would go out and do our School Sucks Project outreach at the end of the school year. It's not happening now because for obvious reasons. But when we were there during the school year, and some of them would be upset about it. Well, school's great. This is great. School is awesome. What are you talking about? School sucks. Well, how many other schools have you been to? How much do you know about the educational process? And you don't realize, if you haven't ever experienced anything else, how good things can really be.
Right.
Indeed. The idea that we would necessarily even be constrained to the ground now if government had been out of the area of roads and licensing and all that, licensure and all that stuff, I think is kind of silly. I think that likely passenger vehicles would be something that would fly around in the air at this point instead of, well, motorized horse carts that we essentially driving out. And they're very good. I mean, they've made these motorized horse carts, you know, sit low to the ground and handle nicely. They put nice sticky tires on them so they stick to the roads. And I think that as much of the joy of driving comes from the car far more than it comes from the road, but I'm only saying
it can be a combination of
the U.S. interstate system that we currently have is the best that we that most people have experienced, so therefore they enjoy it. Do you understand?
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads. Anyway, he continues. But what is not seen are transportation methods that could have developed in a society free of state controls. For example, high-speed roads might have been built over existing throughways. Some might be exclusive to smaller passenger vehicles, and some might expand vertically to accommodate more traffic without stealing from other people who live beside them. I always thought that was a great idea, having like double-decker, triple-decker roads where, you know, you can just get on an on-ramp if it's congested, and, you know, it'd be a little more room up there.
Sure. Vertical expansion makes sense. I mean, that's how people live in cities.
Right. So, yeah, it's the way a city goes. I mean, eventually you run out of room. So connected networks of local rail systems might be prominent, and or more people could travel by personal aircraft, which could be, of course, which of course could be shared. Considering the numerous ways that certain modes of transportation are subsidized by state force shows the difficulty of calculating what method would be most efficient in a free society. Governments use the power of eminent domain to take land from land for roads and for the massive commercial and residential developments that are built to serve.
Well, so he's right. I mean, we can't calculate exactly what would be the best method from getting people from point A to point B, but the market would be able to do that. Were it given the opportunity to,
right.
Were there an actual free market in transportation, we would find out what the best ways to travel are. And unfortunately, we can only speculate at this point.
Right. I'm sure there would be a lot of trial and error in that process as well, but mm-hmm. I think in the end, it'd definitely be worth it, like with anything.
And, of course, it's worth pointing out here, since he mentioned the flying cars, that Mahler Sky Car has been in development for decades and has, I think they had an operable one in the late 60s or pretty long time ago, and they just haven't really gotten it to market because of the FAA, although I think there was a story up on our website sometime this week that said that apparently there has been some sort of Sky Car approved now.
Yeah. Hmm. There's a car with fold-out wings that can go in a garage. It would seem like a kind of a tall garage, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It isn't a great car, and it isn't a great plane, but it's kind of a neat thing. And
the first is usually not that great, right?
Yeah, right.
The early adopters are going to get excited, and of course, really
nobody wants to fly around in the Kitty Hawk anymore.
It's not the early adopter that bothers me, and it's not the flying around that bothers me. It's the early crasher and the falling down that bothers me as far as this vehicle.
Well, don't worry, Mark. The government's going to make sure that whoever flies that car is very, very well trained.
Sure.
And that's really the other issue here is that. Even if flying cars are approved by the FAA, then you still have to be approved in order to actually pilot one. Not to say that you shouldn't have some sort of approval before you are able to pilot such a thing, but I think that an insurance company would do a better job at verifying whether or not somebody is able to pilot a device like
that. Right. It's not the things that you learn while getting licensed that are bad. It's the government's inefficiency in using it. I mean, the idea that somebody has a driver's license qualifies them to drive a car, I think, is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, and the fact that so many of them aren't reclassified. I could be going blind right now. The government's not going to be trying to get my license back.
Think about this. I mean, for instance, if you learned to drive on an automatic, then you're right. You're absolutely right, Mark. I mean, just because you have that license doesn't mean you know anything about driving a stick.
Or a motorcycle.
Right. I don't know what it was like when you guys were growing up in Florida getting your licenses, but it was a joke when I went down to the... Yeah. Yeah, a
blindfolded monkey could have passed that test.
The road test was done in the parking lot. On my 3-point turn, he told me I could take as many points as I want. It didn't matter. I mean, the whole thing was just ridiculous.
Wow.
I agree that although a 3-point turn is a valuable thing to know, I mean, how you can do it a couple of times. And what do you need to know a fast, efficient 3-point turn for? A car chase? I mean, I just don't know what it's all about. And I had to learn how to parallel park in Florida where they have no parallel parking.
Yeah, we didn't have to do that.
Yeah, they had dropped that.
So I learned it anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, there's more come up here, though, about the roads and the marketplace, free market, as opposed to what we have now, which is the violent monopoly roads. 1-800-259-9231. Who really could do road repair worse than the government? More coming up, 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever's on your mind. Got any road innovation ideas? You're welcome to share those too. And take control. This is Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Candy. For inspiring ideas for your next celebration, be sure to visit us at celebrationcorner.com. You don't have to wait for a holiday to plan a festive meal. Celebrate any time with a fun menu or creative theme. Invite friends for a roll-your-own sushi dinner. Or surprise your family with a birthday cake when it's nobody's birthday. Fun is the name of the game, so make up a special reason of your own. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
In the decades to come, hardy adventurers will colonize the solar system, rediscovering freedom and finding vast new wealth. But the government of Earth will seek to extend its power and claim that wealth as its own, any way it can. Escape from Terra, Volume 1, the first trade paperback collection of the popular adventure webcomic series, is available now for $12.95 from Big Head Press at bigheadpress.com.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything by dialing in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That number brought to you by Sickle CAI. 1-800-259-9231. And you can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com. Got news, updates. You want to know the latest about Free Talk Live? You can find out if you're on our email updates list, or you can follow our Facebook profile or Twitter. You can go to news.freetalklive.com to get signed up for any one or all of those options. It's all free, news.freetalklive.com.
Perhaps you may own or know someone who has a company that is struggling to collect money owed from past due accounts. Delinquent accounts are problematic, not only from the standpoint of diminished revenues, but businesses find themselves sidetracked by the arduous task of trying to collect on these accounts. Consequently, valuable time and resources are pulled away from principal operations. SACL CAI liberates businesses from inefficiencies and the vexing task of collections. SACL CAI, you can see their banner at freetalklive.com.
All right, as we continue here, we're talking with Luther, who has a story from the Center for the Stateless for a Stateless Society, Darren Wardron, who's actually one of the hosts of Thinking Liberty, which is one of the programs that appears on the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM. And he has, he's writing an article here about, well, who could really take care of the roads worse than the government? Since one of the big objections to a free society is, what about the roads?
Yeah. Well, who would do the roads better than the government is, you know, usually the question, and he just kind of flipped it around.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's really where he's going with all this. I mean, I'll continue. I mean, so far he's talked about how, you know, we have the interstate system, and it seems great to us, but, you know, if you never tried filet mignon, how are you going to not think that Chuck Eye is the greatest steak in the world? Mm-hmm. I mean, so he goes on, a large commercial airplane.
You mean it's not?
Yeah. Oh, Ian.
Ian doesn't eat beef very often.
No, I like filet. Whenever I have steak, that's usually the way I go.
Yeah. Ribeye is the way to go.
Why is that?
I'm a big prime rib guy. I like it.
Well, prime ribs roasted.
It is ribeye. I know.
Why?
It's just doctored up.
It's tastier meat, in my opinion. Sorry. I like the cut. It's
yeah,
generally
you get
larger.
More.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
It's got a big chunk of delicious fat right in the center
Bigger
of it.
Bigger isn't always better.
It is in this case.
Yeah, that's what the little guys tell themselves.
All right. So he's going on to talk about how alternative modes of transportation will be available, like private aircraft. And so large commercial airplanes are likely more economically viable because their production lines depend on military contracts. In the past, large rail companies were subsidized, and governments have always controlled the use of land on behalf of the politically powerful. Interstate highways reduce trip time when compared to the option of in-state controlled transportation infrastructure, but they are an integral part of the state-dominated economy that makes it necessary to drive further, drive more often, and drive at certain times. If authoritarian obstructions were done away with, it is likely that people could work for less time and at hours more to their choosing, and it would be easier to support oneself from home or neighborhood economic activity. A free economy would increase available options and the opportunity to create new arrangements. As for local roads, in suburbia, some may have originally been built as mixed-use roads back for when internal combustion engines caught on, but they are now often function to limit the types of travel that can be practiced.
Right, and you know, the idea that these roads, these right-of-ways, these thoroughfares were at one point intended for horses and buggies, the space that's there. Mm-hmm. Now you're gonna die if you take a horse and buggy out on these things.
I've seen people with horses out here in New Hampshire.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of those, but certainly the roads out here, lack the city planning that now goes on, or it doesn't even have to be state planning, the neighborhood planning, whereas down in Florida, everything was built in a grid. It was less difficult to get lost because if you made a wrong turn, you know, you could just hit a block and you'd be back on the street you were on.
Right, these are paved cow paths.
Exactly, yeah. Everything's winding and a lot of streets don't connect that, you know, you would expect to. And it's kind of a mess.
Somebody with the political might and capital was able to stop that street from connecting because their property was in the middle. If it had been just your average schmo, they'd have taken their property and run the street through.
Right. When government roads make motor vehicles the only safe way to travel between home and work or the store, the government roads work together with zoning laws to enforce the use of motor vehicles. And those who are not able to afford cars...
And that is a true statement. A lot of places you can't take a bicycle, you know, on the interstate. You can't even walk on the interstate.
Right.
And so there are similar rules like that, and it all depends on where you live. Because I know I'm pretty certain I've seen somebody riding a bicycle down a state road in New Hampshire. So
oh, yeah, I see it all the time, or joggers when I'm on my way to work, yeah.
But it certainly isn't the safest of situations.
No, they don't leave them enough room, and it's always unnerving, especially when you have traffic coming the other way. I mean, it's just two-lane highways, mm-hmm. so... You know,
the right size of a bike path. You know, when I was a kid, you rode along on the white line on the road and you hoped you didn't die. But, you know, now they get 3 feet sometimes for bike paths. And that still doesn't seem like enough when I'm passing them.
I don't see those anywhere.
Some places.
I see them occasionally. But I feel that bikes belong more on the sidewalk than on the road.
I think it depends on
depends
where.
If you have a sidewalk.
And yeah, there's true. Some sidewalks have these, you know, the where you drive into them, so there's these dips, and if it's dark, you just can't see the dips and stuff. So the road's safer. I think that it depends, and I think it, you know, the person needs to be able to make that decision. In some cases, kids riding along, you know, their bicycles in like the downtown area or something like that, that can be dangerous for people.
Oh yeah. And those who are not able to afford cars and are not permitted by the state to operate cars have their choices further limited. Mm. So government action converts roads from tools of personal mobility into means of controlling the movement and settlement of people.
It's a tool of, yeah, a tool of control, tool of oppression. I mean, because it's difficult to operate in many places without having a car, especially in a kind of an urban zone, or not as an urban zone, but a kind of a sprawled out city, if you will.
Right.
Here, it's not a problem.
Right. If you're looking at, you know, usually the northern towns or the older cities have more vertical, you know, stuff going on, mm-hmm. so you can manage to make it without cars. But if you're talking about L.A., Vegas, larger cities that have grown up since the advent of the automobile, you're talking about very big places that you just really can't get around without your own car. I mean, using their bus systems and their public transportation system, very, very difficult.
Yeah. There's a town outside of Keene called Roxbury, and it used to be kind of a bustling town until the government redid the highway system, the state highway systems, and now it's dead. It's a ghost town. There's almost nobody living there.
225, I think.
Wow, yeah, it's...
it's a good place for the Free Town Project.
There you go. And those... roads are often constructed in America frontier towns before the arrival of formal government. Recognizing that they have an accessible throughway would be in their interest. Local residents constructed and maintained roads and benefited from the labor they put into them. More recently, residents of the Hawaiian island of Kauai bypassed the state bureaucracy to repair the road vital to the local economy using much less time and money than the state said would be needed.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't they like repair a bridge or something like that?
Yeah, the state estimated it would cost millions upon millions of dollars, and it would take
forever.
Yeah, 2 years to complete, and they gathered volunteers together. They did it for a couple. I think it was like a couple hundred thousand in the end, and it was done in a month or two.
You know, I remember going when I was a kid in Florida, Sarasota, Florida. I remember going to a planning meeting. My parents took me to this road planning meeting the government was having, saying, we're going to put this road in, we're going to put it through this area. It was right basically bordering our neighborhood, so that's why my parents went to it. And I remember going to that meeting. I was probably 8 years old. They started to work on that road as I was leaving Florida in 2006 at the age of 26.
Wow.
More coming up. You can take control. Free Talk Live.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are 3 for $30 and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com. The main name in military supply.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
If you suffer from poor sleep,
you've got to try MyPillow.
Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose?
Except poor sleep.
Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your...
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You are invited to take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free and bring up what you want. 800-259-9231. Whether you want to comment on the roads or whatever might be on your mind, you're welcome to do so. 1-800-259-9231. Hey, join us on our website. You'll get a lot of features. They're all free. One of them is our webcam, where you can watch and listen to this program and chat as well. The chat room built into the very same page. So watch, listen, interact with other listeners at cam.freetalklive.com. That's cam.freetalklive.com. And the webcam is brought to you by memorydealers.com. They offer the world's largest selection of discounted optical transceivers, including SFPs, GBICs, XFPs, NPACs, and X2s that are 100% compatible with all major networking equipment manufacturers, including Cisco, 3Com, Foundry, Alcatel, and HP, at up to 99% off list price. Memory Dealers can also offer customized solutions for your transceiver requirements, including private labeling. Memory Dealers is your trusted source for all your networking and telecom accessory needs, in stock and ready to ship via overnight delivery, memorydealers.com. As we continue here, we'll get to your calls here shortly, but Luther has a few more thoughts from Darian Wardron's article from the Center for Stateless Society about the government and the roads.
Right, I just kind of want to wrap this up. There's just a few more paragraphs here. The issue of transportation should be considered in terms of all transit options. New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority, which constantly fails to support itself financially, recently announced more service cuts after increasing fares last year.
Jeez.
Amtrak is expensive and frequently delayed. New Jersey transit lines have experienced service cuts and fare increases. This will cause more congestion on trains as well as on the roads, and as the cost of using trains outweigh the benefits of for many potential customers. Clearly, government is not very good at managing something that is in high demand. Convenient mobility. Maybe railway workers know more about managing trains than politicians do. What a wonderful point.
Hmm.
I mean, who else would know better about it? You know, I experience this a lot at my job, actually. You know, it's the bean counters in the office who don't understand what it's like to be out in the field and have to fix these machines. You know, they'll try to push the really crappy pieces of garbage machines out to customers. Yeah, because they're cheap, or, you know, they're hot items to sell, or they have word from corporate to try to push them, and they're just junk.
And that means that they're going to break down.
Yeah, it just means we're just going to have to throw more parts in it. I'm going to have to go back there more often. The customer's not going to be happy with it.
Don't you think that costs them more in the long run? I mean,
yeah, they don't take that. There's a lot they don't take into consideration when they send us out to these places, though, like the gas money it takes to send us there.
Right, and then, I mean, that's just your personal experience from working in the corporate world. And in many cases, corporations can be very bureaucratic, especially the larger they are.
Yeah, and mine's really large. I work for a subsidiary of Xerox.
A subsidiary of a subsidiary of Xerox?
Yes.
Wow, okay. if people are – you're absolutely right what you're saying, because these government bureaucrats – especially politicians, I mean, at least in the corporation, these guys have a tie to the company. Like, they have some level of responsibility for what's going on, whereas a politician or an administrator isn't quite as tied into his decisions that he's making, especially not a politician. Politician's just making decisions based on what'll look good when he's getting elected, not what the results are going to be or anything like that. An administrator of a government bureaucracy is making decisions based on what is going to increase costs for his bureaucracy so his bureaucracy can get more money the next year down the line, typically,
sure,
unless they're being forced to cut.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen it, is that the end of the fiscal year, they have to spend all their extra money. So that they can get a larger budget next year, or at least the same budget next year. The people that are making these decisions are usually unionized government employees who are making far more than they would in the marketplace, or at least there's far more of them than there would be in the marketplace, on the aggregate making more. So they really don't even have an understanding of how it works. Only the government can have a monopoly on roads, the ability to charge tolls on roads, and still run in the red.
Yeah.
Only the government could do that.
What else, Luther?
That was it.
All right. From the Center for Stateless Society, C4SS.org.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-259-9231. You can comment on the road situation or bring up whatever's on your mind. We'll start things out here with Jason in Colorado. Jason, you're on Free Talk Live on the AMP lines.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
I would like to talk about M3 Money Supply. I got a misleading – a colleague of mine sent me an email today, and – basically, we have a debate between Keynesian and Austrian perspectives. So he sent me an article, which I've since tracked back to a May 26th article by Ambrose Evans Pritchard. You might have heard of him. I think he's been quoted on the show before. But he's basically a Keynesian writer for The Telegraph. This article, in a nutshell, says that, oh, my gosh, look out. The M3 money supply in the United States is contracting, you know, quicker than or on pace as that of the Great Depression. And so I thought that was kind of weird. M3, so for listeners that are new to all this, basically M3 is the broadest measure of the money supply. There's an M2, an M1, and even an M0. But basically
– Now, M0 is the amount of money actually in, I believe, hard currency in the marketplace. Is that right?
Mark, I think that's M1.
Okay.
M1's like the hard currency – but the key thing that's not in M1, and which I want to talk about, is the excess reserves that the banks hold at the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not included in M1. M2 is basically, think of M1 as like checking accounts. M2 is checking accounts plus savings accounts. M3 is checking accounts, savings accounts, and CDs and money markets and a bunch of other things. So basically the money market, which is a huge, huge amount of money out there. All the people that are fleeing the stock market, they go into money markets, which is basically short-term treasuries. But this article, I'm only looking at the first four paragraphs. I won't read them. But basically it says that, you know, the money supply fell. Ooh, 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 deflation, look out. And I think it's being used as a boogeyman for, look out, here comes deflation. Deflation is bad, and therefore it's going to be cover for central banks all over saying, we can't have deflation, we need to inflate, and that's going to be coming up. Like I said, this is back in May. But the second paragraph basically says that when the M3 economists, of course, those are Keynesian economists, economists look at the M3 as kind of like a warning signal of the direction of the U.S. economy a year or so in advance. That's right out of the article. But if you think about it, we know the stock market peaked or had its crash in late 2008. So if you go back to 2007. Is there a crash in M3? I mean, if you actually take what they say and move it back in time and say, well, did the M3 predict the crash of the panic of 2008?
Did it?
The answer is it did not. No. In fact, it had been growing, and it only hit 0% growth in January of 2010.
And now they're saying it's contracting. So it had been growing, and then since January it's been contracting. Is that right?
Yeah. And the biggest statement is, you know, it's saying here that the assets of institutional money market funds fell at a 37% rate, the sharpest drop when ever. Ooh. So they're trying to. I just wanted all the listeners to know that the M3 money supply, which the Fed didn't even stop reporting in, I think, 2005, because it's
right.
So. Okay.
Because it's so what?
The only purpose of these M money supplies for you and me and everybody else that's out there in the economy is to know, are we going to get hit with inflation or deflation? And then, you know, what do we do with our money, our savings? If deflation is coming, then each dollar that we hold in our savings account or our checking account actually becomes more, it has more purchasing power. But you
right.
and I and Mark and Luther all know that the history is basically since 1934, the deflation has won 1 year. 1955 was the only year that there was actually a deflation.
Right.
And since then it's been, so the score 76 inflation, the inflation won. It's like the Washington Generals versus the Harlem Globetrotters.
Right.
The Globetrotters always win.
Deflation is okay. the rubber snake of economics. I mean, you shake
right.
it at somebody in order to scare them, but it doesn't happen very often at all. I mean, certainly it's not a good situation, but it's so incredibly
good?
Rare.
It seems like it'd be a fine thing to have happen after you've had inflation a whole bunch.
If you had a real money system, maybe that's true. We don't. I mean, ours is completely fake. Jason, what's your advice for the average individual to do right now?
Don't be scared of deflation and buy your gold and silver.
Why shouldn't one be afraid of deflation? I want you to, if you don't mind, can you explain that? We're coming up here in a moment. This is Free Talk Live.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babkit with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, I didn't write it, I didn't approve it, I wasn't even consulted. If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain clog past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain clog has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclog.com. The drain clog is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Wow.
The summer specials are here. Colloidal silver, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, glucosamine chondroitin, super male plex and female plex, memory power, colon enhancer, and more, all on sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Visit herbalhealer.com now for big summer savings on longevity products like HGH, resveratrol, colloidal minerals, and hundreds of natural health products. Herbal Healer Academy has been a global leader of safe, natural medicine, providing natural supplements, correspondence courses, informative newsletters with ongoing research information to our members since 1988. Sign up for free online newsletters and don't miss McCain's 3-point plan for health at the Herbal Healer Academy website, herbalhealer.com. Find natural ways for weight loss, plus men's, women's, and children's health products, and our famous top-selling 4-herb tea. The testimonials are incredible! And so are the summer specials at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
So you think the massive Gulf oil leak won't affect the air you breathe?
Think again.
Benzene, a toxic gas emitted from crude oil and a known carcinogen, is now airborne, traveling hundreds, even thousands of miles inland. Whether you live near the Gulf or not, benzene and other volatile organic compounds could cause adverse reactions to those living inside your home. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, came to airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to clean the air on boats aiding in the Gulf cleanup. Do what NOAA did. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves by dialing in toll-free and bringing up whatever's on your mind. 800-259-9231. That's why we call the show Free Talk Live. You're free to talk about whatever you want. Tonight, it is Ian.
And Luther.
And Mark.
And we invite you to our website at freetalklive.com. If you enjoy the fact that we give you everything on the site for free, you can voluntarily support the show by going to promote.freetalklive.com, and you'll find a list of things that you can do to help get Free Talk Live into more ears around the country and around the world. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. Get signed up. Promote.freetalklive.com. This will be the place you can go to get a list of things you can do. AMP is one of those things you'll find on the promote page. Promote.freetalklive.com. As we continue, we've got Jason in Colorado talking about economics, the M3 number, which is the largest, widest measure of the money supply in the United States. And you're talking about how apparently it has been dropping since the beginning of 2010, meaning that there's deflation happening. And there are certain Keynesian economists out there that would like to get you to believe that that's a bad thing, that deflation is negative, that you should be afraid of it. And you said not to be afraid of it. Why?
Yeah, and not to be afraid of it because the M3, out of all the different M's, M3 is the one that is least correlated with actual price increases or decreases that you feel when you go to the store, the grocery store. M1, which is just essentially checking accounts and money floating out there as currency that's not in bank vaults, that is a much better predictor of future price increases or decreases. So what I'm saying is they have this huge drop in M3. And they're crying like it's the Great Depression all over again back in May. And these stats are still about the same for now. And all that's really happened is the growth went from a lot of growth down to zero, and then it's gone slightly negative for this, quote, M3 number. But deflation is good for you and me and Mark and Luther because we would like to go to the gas pump and pay less for gas. We would like to go to the grocery store and pay less for cereal and eggs and milk and all that thing. So deflation only makes it makes savers and rewards savers, which is where in Austrian economics capital is formed. It then becomes investment in profitable businesses, and it makes. But it does. Here's the snag: deflation of the money supply, any of the M's, but particularly M1, it makes loans harder to pay back. So if your wages stay the same, and your loan, I'm sorry, if your wages actually contract as the money supply shrinks and things cost less, but your loan is always stated in the money terms at the time you made your loan. So, you know, housing is affected by deflation. So it's the boogeyman. Basically, the bankers, the debtors are harmed by deflation, and we most people, you know, the aggregate stuff in the U.S., the aggregate, the measurement of U.S., the U.S., people in the U.S. are debtors. And so it is a threat, but like all the people that you see on TV, like Peter Schiff, it's the hangover. The hangover has to be cleared. The depression essentially has to clear the market of all these bad loans. So there will be
a bust.
I would actually like deflation to happen.
Sure, the market has to correct itself, and anybody that isn't in debt wouldn't have a problem. And I think that's, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
As I'm like you, you know, I don't have debt. I don't like debt. I try to get rid of debt as quickly as possible if I acquire it in my life. And so I'm in fine shape for deflation also, but I see where you're coming from, that a lot of Americans, that may make life a little bit more difficult
for
them.
Well, this is a funny scenario, because we're talking about M3 here, which is not a great indicator of whether or not deflation is going to occur. So they're out there shaking the rubber snake of deflation at the American people, when it may or may not be something that occurs. And then we're talking about, well, in this sort of Sim City world of fiat currency that we have going on in the world, where money isn't really money, it's something that we're told is money and it's not.
It's debt.
It's a debt note, not a representation of value. Deflation is bad. However, what they've done up to this point to create the situation, and don't be mistaken for a second, there are people that are controlling, supposedly, I'm not saying they're controlling it well, but they're controlling the economy and the currency as it is. They're shaping this. So either they failed, and your expectation is that you can switch a few people on these chairs and that they're going to be able to handle it, or that these things are good. What we really need is to just get rid of it and have a value-backed currency, and that will that'll solve the problem. It's really hard to say what's better in the world of fiat currency or worse. We should have deflation. We shouldn't have deflation.
Meantime, the people that are caught in the midst of all this really can't do anything. You can shake the rubber snake all you want, but what are the American people going to do besides demand the change you're talking about, Mark? I mean, they can't really do anything besides handle their own personal finances as well as they possibly can. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's always a good idea to pay off your debts and get out from underneath credit cards and stuff like that. So, I mean, whether you're having inflation or deflation, that's a generally true statement, is that getting out from credit card debt is a good idea. You'll be better off if you're out from underneath that debt in either situation.
I agree with that.
And once you get out from the debt, then deflation becomes a good thing for you, because every dollar you have then goes further, whereas the reverse is normally what we're used to seeing, which is what the Keynesians want. It's what the money controlling people, the bankers, and the military industrial complex, they want inflation because it benefits them. I mean, when the government inflates the money supply, that inflation of the money supply is going to the politically connected. And so it's a direct benefit for the people that are politically connected to the Federal Reserve and the federal government and things like that. So, like, what can you do besides advocate sound money and advocate personal responsibility with your own finances and have personal responsibility with your own finances?
Right. Hey, and I'd like to add two quick things. So I think the only way we're actually going to get deflation, I true call it the 1930s real deflation, where 8,000 bank branches went out of business because the money supply actually did contract it. There were two key events. So 1933 was the gold confiscation by FDR. And the reason he confiscated gold is you can't put into place the fiat money inflationary system when you still got that nasty gold standard still lingering around in the background, where people could go into a bank and cash out a $20 bill for a 1 ounce gold coin. So 33, the gold is basically taken. In 34, what happened? The FDIC was created, and they're really so the point is that with the FDIC backing insurance deposits, there will not be a deflation 30s type, and that's what this article screams about. That we're back to the 30s deflation. Look out! There will not be a 1930s type contraction of the M1 money supply, because the FDIC is out there, and it has right now a $500 billion credit line from the Congress. And where does the Congress get the money? They sell treasuries. Where does the Treasury get the money? You got it. The Fed prints it. So until the Fed stiffs the Treasury and the FDIC basically gets no moss from the Congress, count on the Harlem Globetrotters of inflation to win and the Washington Generals of deflation to lose.
So you're saying
that financial plans accordingly.
So you're saying that there's nothing really that basically the way it's set up with the FDIC and that sort of thing will prevent any deflation from really happening.
we will not get a sustained, let's call it 2% per year. We will not get a 2% decline of the money supply for any given time. Now, the Fed does tighten because if they don't tighten on occasion, they do get hyperinflation.
Well, okay, so well, what do you think all the fear-mongering is then? I mean, if what you're saying is true that, you know, there's no chance really that with their system that it's going to have real deflation, why the fear-mongering? What are they trying to benefit from?
In order to have cover for the new round of quantitative easing that will come up, you're going to get TARP 3 and TARP 4. All the stuff you're seeing about the G20 and austerity and all that, and the Obama administration saying, you know, we've got to keep spending. That's all this stuff is cover for the next round of.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is that they're talking about this specter of deflation and trying to scare people about it. And then the government's going to come in and say, well, to save us from deflation, we need to bail things out. Right. So there's going to be more bailouts.
Exactly. Even though it's already a foregone conclusion, I mean, it will happen if the Fed totally tells the Treasury, piss off, we're not going to buy anymore. But that's not what the Fed exists for. It exists to protect the big banks who have all those bad loans and the bailouts.
The Fed isn't particularly lucrative for the banks themselves as an institution. It's just, that's where the Treasury gets its money from. And, of course, they're tied. These banks are tied to the most powerful government the world's ever seen. So,
all right. It's good for the banks because they've got they're part of the club.
Yeah.
They're on the inside.
Don't worry about deflation unless the FDIC cannot insure banks anymore, and don't worry about deflation until the Fed tells the Treasury we ain't buying anymore. Is my point. And then make your financial plans for your family accordingly.
Basically, Jason, I want to thank you for the expertise here tonight and the information. I think it was presented in a way that I grasped it, and you know, I'm no expert on these things, so thank you for that. 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. The third hour of the program is coming up here in moments. What happens when you combine a 10-year-old boy and a police captain? We'll find out. You might be able to guess. But we'll explain here in hour number three. You can also bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
I'm talking to those out there who, like me, aren't any good at dieting and don't seem to be able to work out as often as they'd like. Are you on a slow roll down Fat Hill? How would you like to lose weight without changing your diet, exercising, or getting the freaked out jitters? Try Lumathin Plus. It's priced so that you can do it for less than a dollar a day, and it really works. Stop the fat spiral at LumathinPlus.com. It isn't going to make you lose 10 pounds in 10 days, but you can do it without changing your lifestyle. LumathinPlus.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.